This Saturday, Ann Arbor will again be host to a March Against Monsanto. The local march is part of a global effort to bring awareness to the potential environmental and health problems genetically modified organisms create and to some of the suspect practices of the company with the most influence, Monsanto. Good morning. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. When protesters take to the Ann Arbor streets on Saturday, they will be among millions around the world doing the same thing. The March Against Monsanto will touch six continents, 52 countries, and events in more than 400 cities. It's clear there are a great number of people unhappy with Monsanto and the proliferation of GMOs. My guest this morning is the Michigan organizer for the national organization Food and Water Watch. Tia Lebhers has helped put together the first March Against Monsanto in Detroit earlier this year. Food and Water Watch is a nonprofit organization that says it advocates for common sense policies that will result in healthy, safe food and access to safe and affordable drinking water. Tia, good morning and thank you for joining us on WEMU.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
Well, GMOs now comprise about 80% of our food supply. It's very difficult to avoid them. How did we get to this place without a series of legitimate checks and balances?
Sure, that's a great question to start off on. So it's true that genetically engineered foods make up a large part of our food system nowadays. And what we've seen is kind of biotech companies run amok. So these companies like Monsanto, which is, part of the reason why we're having this march against Monsanto, has incredible undue influence over our decision makers and spends millions of dollars lobbying them in order to get exactly what they want, which in this case is more biotech genetically engineered foods in our food system.
Well, as you've pointed out, most of our corn, most of our soybeans, most of our dairy products, now even a substantial portion of our fish is considered to be GMO, yet there are no requirements for labeling. So unless you're acutely aware of it, you don't know exactly what you're purchasing. When it comes to the lack of standard on this issue, how much does it have to do with Monsanto's influence in Washington, particularly on the farm and agriculture bill?
If we look at the statistics of what is out there right now, we can see that polling has shown that upwards of 90% of Americans want to know what they're eating and want genetically engineered food to be labeled. And last time I checked, we lived in a democracy, and our representatives should be putting our best interests forward.
She says in the midst of a government shutdown.
Right. I know. I was hoping we wouldn't even have to go into that. So we see this just, and with the March Against Monsanto, I think it's a very clear message that's being sent across the world that people are not happy with this biotech food system that we now have. And the simplest thing that we could do, really the easiest thing that we could do, is give people the right to know what they are eating.
Beyond the right to know, and let's step back for a moment and look into the science. When we first started hearing about GMOs and the potential of proliferating foods in different ways, we saw it as a real potential to solve the world's food supply problem. Now you question the science itself, huh?
Sure. Well, genetically engineered foods have never been tested for long-term impacts on health and environmental health or safety. And a growing body of research shows that biotech crops have a troubling health implications, including deterioration of liver and kidney function and impaired embryonic development. Not to mention, GE crops usually use more pesticides and herbicides than non-GE crops, and those can easily contaminate organic and non-GE conventional crops with unwanted genetic material. So we see a host of problems, not only on our own bodies, but on our agricultural landscape, on our water through pesticide runoff. There are significant problems that haven't been addressed when looking at introducing genetically engineered foods into our food system.
There was a lot of elements contained in that last response, and I want to touch on them, some of them more specifically. This
sure.
is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Again, I'm David Fair, and my guest this morning is Tia Lebhers, and Tia is Michigan organizer for Food and Water Watch. We're talking about GMOs and this weekend's upcoming March Against Monsanto in Ann Arbor. The march and rally both start and end in Liberty Plaza. The March Against Monsanto begins at 1 o'clock this Saturday. Certainly in this area and in locales around the country, Tia, there's a growing commitment to local food. foods, to farmers markets, to organic growing practices. One of the reasons Monsanto seems to have drawn so much ire is the manner in which it sometimes deals with the small local farmers. And you kind of touched on this. We've heard the anecdotal stories, but I'm wondering, can you provide evidence of unethical practices by Monsanto?
I think the anecdotal, I'm assuming the anecdotal evidence you're talking about is the stories of Monsanto suing small farmers.
Exactly, and even intentionally spreading GMO seeds so that the patent violation occurs.
Sure, well, I can't verify that they've intentionally spread the seeds, but I can tell you that we've seen multiple cases of Monsanto going after small farmers who have not intended to grow their seeds. However, you know, farmland is not a laboratory, and wind blows and corn seeds get knocked off of trucks that drive by other fields, and cross-contamination occurs. It's natural. And while farmers have been saving seeds for thousands of years, it's how we practice farming. Now with this new patent on Roundup Ready seeds, like the corn and the soybean that we're talking about, if Monsanto finds that a farmer has unintentionally, I would say,
cross-pollinated
their seeds, they will sue these farmers for, you know, everything that they're worth. And what we're seeing at Food and Water Watch is that our small and mid-sized farmers are already being squeezed out of production by this corporate consolidation of our food system, and this biotech piece and this controlling seeds and patenting life is another part that makes small and mid-sized farmers' jobs and livelihoods much harder.
And you mentioned Roundup, which is the chemical that they sell to all the farmers from whom purchases their seeds, and you have to buy one to buy the other. It's creating superweeds, and it's actually affecting agriculture in a negative way instead of becoming a more productive soil and land.
So Roundup Ready crops use what's called glyphosate, and this is a toxic chemical that has been linked to kidney and reproductive difficulties, allergic reactions, and other human health issues. And now what we're seeing, again, another product of not just on our bodies but on our agricultural fields, superweeds and pests like rootworm have become resistant to this GE-affiliated herbicides like Roundup and pesticides, and they require even more toxic chemicals to be applied to the crops. So where it's supposed to be helping, it's actually requiring farmers to use more chemicals.
Many blame the crisis in our bee population to these pesticides and herbicides, and there is no future agriculture without bees. Have you seen any empirical evidence to prove that those two can be related?
The bee question is quite complicated. However, we have seen that certain chemicals like neonicotinoids do affect the bee population. These are really toxic chemicals that we're spraying into the environment, that we're putting on our food, and they affect every cycle of the food system, like I said, from our bodies to bee bodies to our soil to our water. Farmers say thank a bee for every third thing that you eat. And so you're right that bees are absolutely critical to our future food production.
In the end, Monsanto doesn't even acknowledge these marches and rallies, despite the fact they are global in nature. It's not even a blip on their screen at this point. Can it make a difference?
I think it already is making a difference. So we've seen tremendous outcry for labeling of genetically engineered foods. Food and Water Watch was very involved in Prop 37 in California, which was a state ballot to label genetically engineered foods. And Monsanto dumped millions and millions of dollars, and we inevitably lost that fight. However, right now in Washington State, 522 is a new ballot initiative that they'll be voting on in November. Food and Water Watch and other great organizations who are involved in the March Against Monsanto, who are fighting for our right to know, are very involved in Washington, calling Washingtonians and letting them know to vote yes on 522. So really the nation should be watching, because we already are making a difference. And whether or not Monsanto acknowledges us doesn't matter at the end of the day when we win these really important campaigns for our right to know.
Tia, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David.
That is Tia Lebhurst. She is a Michigan organizer for Food and Water Watch, and we are talking about GMOs and this weekend's upcoming March Against Monsanto in Ann Arbor. That march and rally starts and ends in Liberty Plaza and gets underway at 1 this Saturday afternoon. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. This segment is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and is heard each Wednesday during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.